Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Third hour of the program is live, and we're always excited to talk to Blake Hopmeyer about a number of subjects. He just recently was down in Baton Rouge with an interview with Brian Kelly, and a lot of juicy tidbits coming from that. Blake, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. So tell us about spending some time on the bayou with Brian Kelly.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the perspective from the outside, Paul, would be like, how is LSU going to maintain momentum without Jaden Daniels, without two first-round NFL draft picks at wide receiver? But to hear from Brian Kelly, he feels like this program is in better position overall than it was this time a year ago. And that's not revisionist thinking on his part either. He was raising some warning flags about his defense last summer that proved true. Come fall, he really feels like he's made some improvements on defense, feels like that group is more veteran, less reliant on newcomers, transfers, young guys, and he really believes in Garrett Nussmeier. Now, he's not predicting Jaden Daniels 2.0. He knows that LSU has to recoup what Jaden Daniels brought in the rushing game in other areas, but I think he's a believer in Nussmeier's arm. I think he thinks the offense is going to remain in good shape. He thinks his defense is going to be improved. The biggest question is how much improved, because incremental improvement is not going to be enough for LSU. It was a disaster on defense last year. They have to be markedly improved.
Like, in your conversation with him, you went where few have gone, and that's joking. I think you were joking about the rumors that he may have considered been wooed by the University of Michigan. Obviously, he didn't, stayed where he was. But just give us your feeling about just the fit that was so often discussed when he got there, but has seemingly moved out of the conversation.
Yeah, I think the fit between Brian Kelly and LSU is just fine. I mean, I think these things have evolved over the years. I mean, the days of needing to hire a Southern boy to coach in the SEC, those are over now. And I think Urban Meyer changed that. I think Nick Saban changed that. Fit can go beyond so many things past just geography. I mean, if we're looking at this geographically, then Brian Kelly is an outsider, right? Came from, born and raised in the Boston area and spent most of his career in the Midwest. But as I like to say now, the climate is whatever temperature it is in the coach's facility, and the culture is whatever you're building within your program. Like, you know, these coaches are not like regular people out to sample the local cuisine and join the Chamber of Commerce, right? Like, they spend their lives inside the program. And so it's, do you fit with your bosses? Do you fit with the culture within the athletic department? I think Brian Kelly does fit there. And more importantly, he's showing that he can recruit the terrain that he needs to recruit to be successful. Like, you know, the first couple years, there was the lingering question of, can Brian Kelly recruit at the level he needs to go from being a 10-win coach in the SEC to being able to contend for national championships? Well, now we're still 7 months from the December signing period. But if you look at LSU's recruiting class, as it stands now, it's one of the best in the country. It's got a few five-star recruits committed to that class, including Bryce Underwood, a highly ranked five-star quarterback prospect. So we're seeing momentum with Brian Kelly at LSU. The question is, obviously, how long is it going to take for him to seriously contend for a national championship? But yeah, you know, I did pointedly bring up Michigan because I thought it had to be addressed. And of course, we know coaches are not always truthful in these matters, but I thought Kelly laid out a very convincing case for why he wants to be at LSU. And I think that case is he wanted the challenge of the SEC. That hasn't changed. The challenge only grows tougher. And number two, I think he believes LSU is a place where he can win a national championship, which is the lone accomplishment missing off his career resume.
One of the things he said a couple of years ago, he wanted to come down and do all that and beat Nick Saban, which he did. You talk to him about Saban. I bring this up, Blake, because we had an Alabama fan call in the other day and said Alabama was the biggest winner in the draft, not so much, not only because of what was taken, but the fact that Nick Saban was so good on TV. I ask you that because at some point, I think Nick Saban will exit being the co-head coach at Alabama. But how does that affect the rest of the SEC with Saban finally gone?
Yeah, well, I think Kirby Smart, if he wasn't already, becomes the face of the challenge, and that's what Brian Kelly said in my conversation with him. Because you're right. I mean, Brian Kelly, when he took the LSU job, he referenced all the challenges in the SEC, but Nick Saban really being the face of that, and he'd been the face of that challenge for so many years. That torch has passed officially with Nick Saban's retirement to Kirby Smart. And unofficially, the torch may have passed a couple years previously. And we saw for so long other programs throughout the SEC, outside the SEC, would try to mimic what Nick Saban was doing, take the Saban blueprint and make it work. Kirby Smart did make that work better than anybody else, but he's also put his own stamp on it. And now you're starting to sense some programs wondering, hey, can we do what Kirby's doing at Georgia? And I think that's what Brian Kelly's trying to do. At LSU, how long it takes him to perfect that model remains to be seen. And notably, Kirby Smart did not win his first national championship until year six at Georgia, although he had showed a lot of signs toward that along the way. As it regards to Alabama, I think Nick Saban is going to be part of the conversation until Kalen DeBoer proves that he can do this job at Alabama. He's proven it other places. As you know, I think it's a great hire, but he still has to prove himself at Alabama. If he does that in the first month of the season, first half of the season, Nick Saban's going to recede from that co-coach role, as you put it, into a little bit more of the background. I don't know if Nick Saban's ever going to be fully in the background, but he'll be more in the background if Kalen DeBoer proves himself, in the first month and a half of the season. If he struggles early, that Nick Saban factor, that shadow, is going to grow larger and larger than it's ever been before.
And Blake, it was hard to believe, but 4 months ago today, we were in Pasadena watching Nick Saban's final game. And DeBoer has had a good run. He had that bumpy start with some of the players leaving, but since then it seems like he has really stopped the bleeding and is off to a great start. But you and I both know what he does now doesn't matter. It's what he does during the season. So talk a little bit about this transition and lead up and really what could destabilize this run that he is currently on?
I think it's so important that Kalen DeBoer continues to get more and more out of Jalen Milroe or whoever wins that quarterback job. But I think it's going to be Milroe. I think talk to the contrary is really just off-season fodder. I think it's Milroe's job. DeBoer is someone who's had a good hand with quarterbacks throughout his career. I mean, we just saw it in the NFL draft last week. Michael Penix, a guy who was a three-star recruit who really nobody in the SEC wanted, becomes the number 8 overall draft pick after spending some time with DeBoer first at Indiana and then at Washington. This is a guy that, like I said, he's really got a good reputation for offense. He's got a good reputation for quarterbacks. And I don't think Jalen Milroe has hit his ceiling yet. And I think, for all the questions that Alabama faces, I think it still needs some pieces on defense. I'm not sure that unit is quite as robust as it was at the pinnacle of the Nick Saban era. I do think, though, on offense, there's a higher ceiling for Alabama to reach than what we saw last year. I mean, early last season, the offense was a mess. The offensive line was in shambles. Milroe had not settled into the job yet. He loses his job 1 week. He improved throughout the course of the season. But again, I don't think that's a guy that's hit his ceiling. And I wonder if the coaching change is going to help Jalen Milroe. I think it will. I'm not saying there was any bad relationship between him and Nick Saban. I think that was fine, but I think he's really going to flourish more so with Kalen DeBoer than he did with Nick Saban and Tommy Rees. For the first half of last season, Tommy Rees had no idea what to do. with Jalen Milroe. It took him far too long to figure out what to do with him. We've heard Jalen Milroe talk very positively about this transition to Kalen DeBoer. And like I said, there's a lot of things that are going to define this season. But I think if I were, you know, creating a list, I think how those two pair together, DeBoer and Milroe, for the good or the bad, is going to go a long way in sort of shaping the narrative of this year one for DeBoer and Tuscaloosa.
And Blake, just to look ahead, you know, May is a season of meetings and conclaves, and at the end of the month, as you know, we'll see the SEC come together, 16 schools in Destin. A lot can happen between now and then, but when we land on the beach in a couple of weeks, what do you think are going to be the biggest issues discussed by all the people that matter in this league?
Probably lawsuits, right? Antitrust lawsuits. I'm not sure that's the spiciest topic for fans. I actually think fans are getting a little jaded by all this talk of NIL and antitrust cases and court cases, to where they're wondering, wait, whose last name is this? Why do I care about this? But, you know, I mean, it is an overarching theme of the sport right now, and how much has changed from a year ago. I remember last year in Destin, you and I were on set talking about whether the SEC was going to go to an 8-game or a 9-game schedule. And while I still think that's a storyline that fans care about, it sort of takes a back seat now with this like lawsuit a day culture that the NCAA is in. So, I think that it's, like I said, it's not the most attention grabbing topic, I think, for fans who want to know, you know, who's on their team, who they're going to be playing, what the future of their program looks like. But I do think in that setting, that spring meeting setting, you know, knowing the audience that's there, I think sort of the direction of the sport, revenue sharing, you know, how to avoid antitrust lawsuits, NIL, I think those are the types of topics, exhausting though it is at this point, that are sort of going to dominate those meetings.
Incredible stuff, as always, from Blake Topmeyer. Well, we will talk to you soon. If not, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Blake, many thanks. Blake from USA Today, always one of the best voices in the sport. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right around the corner.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. It's been an interesting show. A lot of time now for some phone calls. And let's check in with Yoke next. Hey, Yoke, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, what's up?
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Now, I've been hearing a lot of these calls coming in here about this SEC quarterback and the talent in the upcoming year.
That is correct.
Now, okay, so here's what puzzles me the most. The name that leads that list is Quinn Ewers. in your empire of a conference, the SEC, a Big 12 guy who hasn't taken a snap at the SEC is the best? Come on. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, I'm puzzled, Paul.
Well, I mean, he's a great quarterback. I'm not sure I understand your question.
He's great. He's really great. I hear is Quinn Ewers. And he hasn't even played in the SEC yet. He's coming into the best conference.
He hasn't played in the SEC yet, but he led his team to the playoffs last year. So I think that qualifies for something.
Yes. In the Big 12. So
I'm aware of that. Are you aware that he went to Tuscaloosa last year and won a game against Alabama? Did your TV get that game?
Oh, he got it, but he was in the Big 12 when he did it. That shouldn't happen. Big 12 teams shouldn't come into the SEC territory and do that.
Okay.
Jalen Milroe, he was in the SEC. Come on, Paul. Come on. Big 12's better. SEC, skip every class. See ya.
See you. Jim is next. Sorry, Jim. Well, I hung up on you a minute ago by accident.
Okay. Well, I wondered. Rams out of
I was moving my finger and I just ran over your line.
Well, you know, I'm not mad about that. I am mad about something you did while ago, though, Paul. You got something wrong. And first of all, where is in fine print where it says a caller has got to give a resume of all the details of his life, of every of what he does, his picture? Where is that on your resume? Is there something I missed?
No, that is not required. That is not required by the bylaws of the show.
Why do you make a big deal out of it? That burns me up. Why do you do that? Why do you try to do that?
Why do I do what?
I'm private, and I've got a right to be private, have I not?
Well, I believe if you heard, I was defending your right.
I heard you talk to Don, the freak, the geek that hates me from 10, 12 years ago, from Birmingham. He's a geek. He hates me. He's always said
that. But, Jim, I defended you. I said that I would never.
You're not defending me about. Look, he said, first of all, you said I was on the show in 2000. That's a lie. I was never on the show before 2002. I was not on the show in 2000. That's the fact.
Jim, the reason I said that is I remember writing an article about going to church.
Well, you were wrong, Paul. I don't care where you wrote. I'm telling you, you were wrong about that.
Well, maybe. Tell me if this is right. You called in at what? And maybe I'm off 2 years. I'm sorry.
I remember you commenting on an article I did when I went to
hear Mike Dubow speak in church.
But the article had been written way before that.
The article was written in 2000, I believe.
Well, but I didn't call after that. A long time after that.
Okay.
I didn't call in 2000.
So you're saying you called for the first time in.
I'll explain it to you. Explained to you to listen. Jimmy Adams, a friend of mine, was a cop. He told me about the article, and I heard, and I liked what I heard. So that's when I called. That's exactly what. And it was after, long after, when you wrote the article. That's
Jim, the problem is that DuBose was fired in 2001.
I call after that, Paul.
Okay. So help me out because I don't want to make this. What year do you think you've called for the first time?
2002.
Okay, so I was off by 2 years. My apologies.
Well, listen to me. I called you. Damn, you're stepping on a good call. I called about that freak, that geek, that goober, the creepiest guy you've ever had on this show. I didn't say the worst caller, but he's the creepiest. Makes my skin crawl. He used to call and ask questions and say negative things about me. He's never liked me. Don, the creepy freak that called you earlier today.
The guy that just called a minute ago, right?
About 15 or 20 minutes ago, I'd say. I didn't even listen to the show. I can't stand all these callers. But I went back. I just happened to go to the replay, and he was on, and I listened to him. And he said all kind of, you know, this burns me up. This really, you know, the Bible, let me tell you another story about the Bible, of the truth.
Okay.
In Proverbs, it says seven things God hates. Number one, people that would sow discord. You know what discord is? You got a lot of it on the show.
Right.
The Bible says God hates people that sow discord, or hates it about people that sow discord among the brethren, among people. And that's what that guy does. And that's what, he's a lying, he's just a complete moron, totally. And he called, he, uh, he wants to know all about why. This is what really burned me up. Well, what about I-Man and Jim? You know, now they're friendly. Who ever heard of a man complaining about two people that hated each other, now friendly? Whatever. What kind of immoral, unfit moron is that Don from Birmingham? That's all he is, Paul. And you give place to that crap by even talking to those people and going there,
Jim,
with them.
Jim,
really
a question. What am I supposed to do?
Just say, look, you want to talk about Jim? I'm not talking about it. You don't go into depth about anything about Legion. You don't do that with any other caller but me, Paul. And that's always what's made me mad with you. You got no right to do that with me. I mean, it's my business what I say and do. It's none of his stinking business. And what business was he in before he got in mine? I mean, really, it burns me up, Paul. It really makes me mad at you for that. I mean, it really does. You're out of line. You're out of bounds doing that. You know I know what I'm talking about. And I am a straight shooter. Now, I don't care what they say about me. And by the way, hey, Matt, you suck. You freaking suck. People feel sorry for you. That's why they call and, oh, we're going to do you this way. So, Matt, you're a complete moron. You're an imbecile, like you're about 4 years old. And that's the truth. I'm telling it like it is. So don't keep me out of your stinking mouth, Matt.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't want to step on a good call.
Well, you already, it's over. The call is over.
Okay. So did I step on a good call or not? John is next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing, Paul?
Oh, John, I'm doing great. I just got berated by Jim, but I'm feeling good.
Anyway, serious tonight, you kind of touched on this, I guess, last week or the week before, but, you know, the season, I guess, is about 3 months away, but it's not too early to start talking about the teams that are going to surprise or not surprise, but maybe move up the ladder this year, and then the teams that need to be kind of looking over their shoulder a little bit and don't get caught in the weeds and get beat by teams that shouldn't be beat. But I have two teams on each side, Paul. I think two teams that they may move up the ladder. And I think one of them, I think you talked about a little bit earlier, was I think Tennessee is a team that's, you know, has a real chance there. Okay. They had a, you know, they got a good class, have a very good coach, obviously. And, you know, if they get hot, they can beat anybody. And then the other team that I think very positive on is Ole Miss. I think those are the two teams that I would be, you know, if I were the Bamas and LSUs and everyone else out west, you know, Oklahoma and Texas, is I would, you know, worry about. So then the two teams that I think have some risk here are, the first one is Missouri. You know, I talked about this last week. Missouri had a really good year, but you know, you can't rest on your laurels, and they have some potential there to lose maybe a game or two that they shouldn't. And then the other team is Texas. You know, Texas has done this in the past where they go out and they beat Bama at home, and then lose to some other you know, mediocre team. So I didn't know what your opinion is about that. Anyway, what do you think, Paul? And by the way, before you comment, I think the one individual who really touches all the bases on this analysis that is on the SEC Network, and I really wish you'd have him on more, is it Matt, is it Stinchcomb? Is that how you pronounce
Matt Stinchcomb,
his name?
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see you have him come on and kind of go through the list and kind of kick these things around. But that's kind of what I think is happening. What do you think?
I think that's a good analysis, John. Hey, listen, thank you very much for that. We'll end this segment right now. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Squirrel has arrived. Good afternoon.
I literally have arrived, just arrived home from one of your favorite parts of the country, Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My brother lives out in Georgetown in a little suburb there, and went out, visited him a few days, and dropped over by the campus, took care of the protest, and came on back home a little early.
So you ended the protest, huh?
Oh, yeah. Do you know the difference between Jim and Bigfoot?
No.
There's documentation on Bigfoot. Jim literally.
By the way, I do apologize, Squirrel. I didn't for saying that he called 2 years earlier than he called. So he's actually called 22 years ago as opposed to 24 years ago.
Well, you said it yourself. You've lost your fastball, and that's a classic example right there. I mean, how can you be 2 years off of a 20-plus year? Tally there, but yeah, you're only human, but that's okay.
I'll do better.
He's not 25. But what gets us, when I say us, people like me, because there's literally probably tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of listeners that accomplished so much more than Jim ever did in sports, and we don't come on here and brag about it because, you know, why do it 60 or 70 years later? But literally, the dude comes on and he's you know, he equates himself to the Ted Williams and the Sandy Koufaxes of the world, but yet he has zero documentation. And that's why people like me call in and badger him, I guess you might say. Am I wrong for being that way?
I refuse to comment on the grounds that it will incriminate me.
Oh, it will. And he's going to come on. I mean, you're not defending him. You should be defending him right now.
I thought, but here, Squirrel, if I could just talk to you as a friend.
Sure.
I felt like I was defending him in that call.
You were, but he's too stupid to realize it. That's the Jim that we know and love. You were defending him, but again, he's such an idiot, he didn't even realize it. So Jim's the gift that keeps on giving. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Fred is in Texas. Hello, Fred.
Paul, brother, thank you for taking my call. I have sat over the last few weeks, Paul, and I've heard a theme. You may have picked it up as well. And I want to see if you're seeing the same thing. You're getting callers calling in, trying to make great calls and asking you what it takes to make great calls. And if they don't feel like they're hitting the mark, they're asking you, what do I have to do to make a great call? Am I on point, Paul?
You're on point.
What is going on with that? Is this something that is new because people don't know, they've forgotten how to talk because they only type and text? I'm not quite sure.
That could be true, what you just said.
Well, Paul, I want to give you and the listeners my viewpoint, obviously. But what I see is the three classes of great callers to this show over the years. Is that all right? Can I do that?
I would love to hear that, of course.
The first group, Paul, I would say they are the diehard devotees. These are the folks, they live and breathe their teams. And they're just passionate, fierce all the time. Miss Phyllis Fomalga was one, bless her soul. Auburn Tammy, bless her soul. They were two of the greatest. And then, of course, old Larry from Shelby. He's passionate. He gets fired up. You know that he's going to talk about Alabama at some point and give you a roll tide, damn it. Then you've got the second group, the provocative pundits. They're going to stir the pot. They're going to thrive on controversy. They challenge conventional wisdom. Listen, Love him or hate him, Jim, he's radio gold for that point. Legend. And then, gone but not forgotten, Shane from Centerpoint. Who could forget his various theories about Auburn? Am I right?
Correct.
And then the group I call the Sages. They give that insightful analysis with a touch of humor. Squirrel, he just gave one of those calls. Selena Summers, gone but not forgotten. Bobby from Birmingham, gone but not forgotten. Ed from Connecticut, gone but not forgotten.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's one. Would you agree, Paul, with those three categories? Generally,
I'm in total agreement.
And I have a pro tip for y'all, especially for the new callers and some who may have forgotten. You do not have to ask Paul how he's doing. He's doing great. Am I right, Paul?
Well, yeah, this is the South, you know.
I get it. And you know what, Paul? That's why you, Paul Feinbaum, are a great American. You are so passionate, so patient. You take good care of the fans. And you know what, folks? Give Paul a call. Give Paul a call. You can flip it. You can go backwards. You can go forward. It doesn't matter because it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to be you. Make it authentic. I love you, brother. I love you all. Have a great day.
Thank you. And I thought we had were finished a minute ago, did you not, with this gentleman? John, is there something that we missed here?
Hello, Paul. Are you there?
Obviously. I just said hello to you.
Okay, Paul. I didn't get a chance to finish a comment, and I was going to talk a little bit about something else and talk positive, but after...
Well, no, you do whatever you want, John.
No, it's okay, Paul. I was going to talk a little bit about Squirrel, okay? And Squirrel always brings up things about sports from way back, but you know, Squirrel, you didn't see any of the great players of the late 50s or 60s like you talk about. Squirrel, I bet you never saw Double D, Don Drysdale, or Sandy Koufax pitch, okay? Or you never saw Gibson and Carlton pitch for the Cardinals, okay? Squirrel, you are a big wannabe. Squirrel, you like to talk about stuff. And Paul, if you cut me off, you cut me off. But you know something, Squirrel? You're a big yes man that I talked about yesterday with this show, calling in here and telling Paul what he wants to hear. You have no original thought. You bring nothing to the show. You talk down to people. You're very arrogant and condescending. But you know something, Paul? The reason he does that is because you let him do that, Paul. You don't put a stop to it. Okay? Do you understand what I'm talking about, Paul?
John, I feel some criticism of me in this diatribe of yours.
It's not a diatribe, Paul.
No, John, it is a diatribe. You are hung up on one thing. You feel like the host of this show, which is me, tries to cover things up. And John, you don't know anything about
me.
You don't know anything about me, sir.
You cover stuff up.
Young man.
And people like Jim and I call up and we talk business.
No, you
don't. You don't ever talk any business, Paul. You talk about what your show wants to talk about. You
John,
have an agenda.
I allow
you one thing, enormous
liberties on this show. John, you for the record, John hung up because he did not get his way. Why don't we do this? Why don't we stop? We've had a volatile afternoon here. It's middle of the week. Why don't we take a break and be right back?
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Joey is up next here on a Wednesday. Good afternoon, Joey.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, have you ever played sports?
No, I've never done anything other than,
at you like a badminton man.
No, I take it back. Hold on. I was third team badminton and second team horseshoes in high school.
Okay. How in the world did you become a sports analyst, if you don't mind me asking? Was it mad because you wasn't big enough and you had to get closer to the sports or something?
Well, Joey, I'm not sure how I know how to explain this, but I became a reporter, and that led to doing what I'm doing now. It's what I would call a profession. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I understand that. I just wondered, because you know sports like, God, it's unreal, because all the stuff I hear you say, it's way back. You study pretty good.
Well, I think it helps when you do it over a number of years and you get to, I never try to act like I am an expert, but
experts. I've seen you a couple times get picked on stay on game day. It looked like you scared to death if you get about a foot and a half off the ground.
Joey, would you like to be picked up by an all-pro defensive tackle?
I would not. But I'm just saying, you were scared to death.
I think that would be accurate.
Okay, buddy.
Joey, before you go, what's happening at home?
Well, she's in bed. Let's don't wake her up.
Why is she in bed at
whatever she wants to
4:30 in the afternoon.
Hey, whatever she wants to do.
Did you ever get the issues settled?
No. Squirrel screwed me up.
What happened?
Squirrels want to set her house down, and then it all blowed up.
What was the issue?
He said I had too many animals living in my house, but I didn't. And she was pissed off about it.
Is she still?
I can get off the phone, man.
Joey, you're on the show. Why do you have to run?
She just walked through here.
Why don't you put her on?
No. I can't do that.
Well, Joey, why don't you offer her the possibility of coming on?
She would like to skin squirrel.
Well, put her on. I'll handle this.
I can't do that.
Well, do you think
say something that'll ban us all from the
No. Why don't you at least give her the opportunity?
I can't do that.
Well,
I know how she is.
Well, it doesn't matter what you know, but
yeah, it does. Well, y'all don't want me to call no more?
No, I do want you to call.
I'll be banned from TV?
No, you won't be banned. Not because of what your wife does.
No, I gotta go.
Man.
Sorry.
Well, Joey's got to go. We don't want to keep you, Joey. Brad is in Macon up next.
Wow. You got a guy that's been waiting on you for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, he's been here for...
Begging to stay on the show.
Yeah, it wasn't like he just got on like 2 seconds. We unfortunately had to wait. And Mrs. Joey's... clearly scares him.
It sounds like he's got a reason to be scared, Paul. There's nothing like the scorn of a woman. You know that.
What do you mean?
Means you piss them off, you're going to pay a big old steep price. That's what I'm saying. I think he's pretty good at pissing her off.
Yeah, I think he lives in fast forward, don't you?
Yeah. But hey, getting back to football, which I ain't heard any sports talk in the last 2 hours. Going into the spring game, there's two guys I want to point out for Georgia. I think they hit on the portal, and Kobe Young from Miami, 6'5" wide receiver. I think he's going to do real well for us in the, especially in the inside the 20. They can go up and take a ball, 50-50 ball, and bring it down the red zone. And another guy is Xavier McLeod, defensive lineman we got from South Carolina. is going to get in there and provide us some depth, because our secondary and our defensive line really aren't the greatest. And, Paul, being that I'm from Macon, Georgia, can I give you a little something about the Allman Brothers?
Of course.
Okay. The song Melissa, they had already written the song. They couldn't come up with a name. They knew they had to have a name to go for the song. Greg Allman was in, this true story, this Greg Allman was in a grocery store, and there was this little girl running around. Her mama was trying to corral her, and she was yelling, "Melissa, Melissa, come back over here, Melissa, get over here." There's your title for the song, just like that.
Sweet, and Paul, Melissa,
have a good rest of it.
Well, that was an amazing story. Thanks for sharing. Woo. Gunny is up next in Georgia. Hello, Gunny.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I come on. I don't understand why people don't want to tell their age, because I'm old as dirt. But I'm really excited.
How old are you, Gunny?
2024. Huh?
How old are you?
82.
Well, that's a good age, I imagine.
Yes, sir. But I'm really excited. I wish that you would put the week 1, 2, and 3 up on the SEC. And
okay.
The people that we play. I mean, used to, you could just go to sleep and go on vacation for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Oh, yeah, not anymore.
But now we've got a game of the century in the first games of the year, the second games of the year, and the third games of the year. And I'm so excited, you know, about Georgia going down to Texas, Georgia going to Alabama.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.